Mike Berlew.
What's up there, Scott?
100 episodes in. 100 episodes in. And before we start this thing, let's talk about our sponsors a little bit. The good old sponsors of Verbal Shenanigans Podcast.
That'd be a good idea.
First off, let's talk about our longest sponsor, Wolf Nation.
Ah, great place to start, my friend.
Summer is coming, okay? Spring is here. Wolf Nation apparel is all over the place. And Wolf Nation is W-U-L-F, not W-O-L-F.
No, that'd be silly.
Yeah, that'd be stupid. Yeah. Wake up, live free. Wolf Nation, okay? Follow Wolf Nation on Instagram. Check out some of the new shirts coming out. A lot of different things. Wolf Nation on Twitter. Wolf Nation on Facebook.
Men, women, children. Pets. They
are you just naming the things you kill?
Policemen. my grandmother. That's everything.
Yes, apparel for everybody. So please go check out Wolf Nation on Facebook and whatnot. Give them a like and check out some of the things they're coming out with. And longtime support of the podcast, that is Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free. Let's go over to Convenient Truth, Mike.
Oh,
I think you were just sent the movie finally.
I'm going to see it this weekend.
Oh, so only one more week of you pretending you've seen it. And
it's the greatest movie I ever seen. There's a scene where Mel Gibson just pops out. It was an amazing cameo, and it was crazy. The CGI in the movie was excellent.
Yes, but if you want to support independent movies, okay? Mm-hmm. A good friend of the podcast, Dom Bagnuttum, put out a movie called Convenient Truth. So go to contruthmovie.com, enter the promo code Shenanigans, and you'll get yourself the deluxe copy for $6.49. It's a no-brainer. That's like two cups of coffee these days.
Yeah, exactly.
So might as well support the arts. Now, bringing us to Trivia Revolution.
Woo!
Trivia Revolution, which is fueled by craft beer, Mike Berlew.
Ah, that's a great thing to be fueled by.
Where you bring the best of trivia and craft beer together. They're proud to support the local craft beer community, and every week feature one of the sponsor breweries from New Jersey, including Beach House, River Horse, Ramstein, Cricket Hill, just to name a few. Okay, every week, Berlew, you could win prizes. Okay, from one of their game locations, but every show you also reward a special prize from the featured brewery. Okay. Also partnered with NewJerseyCraftBeer.com, and any team with a NJCB member will get bonus points towards their final score.
I would advise everybody out there when they go to the game, don't answer ahi ahi. The hosts of the Trivia Revolution games tend to mock you when you do that.
Yes, and if you want to come see me host on Tuesday nights at Paragon Top and Table. Okay, come on down at 8 o'clock.
That's a lot of L's in that name, Scott.
Yes. Visit us at TriviaRevolution.com to find locations near you. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Mm. And finally, our newest and latest sponsor. Very happy to work with them. In fact, drinking their dry Irish stout right now. Mm-hmm. And then last time we had their strawberry cream ale. But that is Demented Brewery. Demented Brewery, located in Middlesex, New Jersey. Yes, so Demented Brewing Company, they just came out like within the last year, so they make a variety of seasonally inspired, insanely flavorful ales. Definitely visit their 16 taps, Berlew. That's 16 different beers you can try.
Well, 14 and two sodas.
Yes, well, you can get a little crazy. But also, while you're there, check out their barrel program. Make sure to get details about their Mug Club, their new release on most Sundays. I was just there yesterday, and they have a mango habanero IPA, which was delicious.
Wow,
so
that's interesting.
Go to DementedBrewing.com for details. Okay, now, real quick, they are having their first bottle release. Their first bottle release, which is a Russian Imperial Stout aged in bourbon barrels. Okay,
interesting.
Coming up next weekend. So please check out their website for details. That is again DementedBrewing.com. All right, Berlew, let's get underway. Episode 100.
100.
You're weird.
This is Harley Spiller, a.k.a. Inspector Collector, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Saw tell me.
Yay!
About time you gave me the
welcome to episode 100, Michael Berlo. 100 of these goddamn things.
I'd like to thank Dollar Tree.
That's where it all started. It's been a hell of a ride, Mike Berlo.
Yeah, man.
We're back again and for a couple hundred more, I hope. And, you know, like I always say, one day maybe we're old and gray and sitting on a beach somewhere with the money we've made from this podcast, you know, we can listen to from episode 1 to 8,000, whatever we got.
I'd say 25 to 8,000, but still.
Well, yeah. Well, we got to ignore the past. But it is good to be back, and we are just kind of going with it here. I'm on our... what would you call this? The century mark? The high water mark here?
100? The centennial.
Oh, the centennial, yes. 100 of these episodes, so welcome. I just cracked open a rotatable, okay, by Bolero Snort. It's a big juicy IPA. The reason I bring this up is because if you remember when we did the big beer fest, we interviewed the guys from Bolero Snort. And they were the guys who had the massive sound problems, and they didn't make the cut. So, guys, you made the cut this time.
My favorite part was when they said, Bolero.
But you're here, Berlo, and you just made it on time. We have a pretty awesome guest hopefully coming on in a few. And we'll see how that goes, but we'll get to that in a minute. But, I don't know. Why don't we start with a little news?
All right.
Let's start with a little news. Did you see the story of this woman who hid a piece of poo in her purse?
No, I did not.
It took Twitter by storm the other day. So this headline, brave woman hid a piece of poop in her purse when her date's toilet wouldn't flush. So she started tweeting these things. Okay. Now, who knows if it's real? But it's hilarious. Okay. So.
Behold, the Lamb of God.
What the heck is that?
I didn't know hiding poop was so religious.
Pop-up ads. And if
I, let him, I mean, it's so Easter. So,
rises up sometimes. So at 11:59 p.m., she says, I have a story to tell. Now, this is Misunderstood Worm, and it's at underscore blotty. I have a story to tell. It's about my poop. Okay. 1 minute later, she says, so yesterday, I went on a date with a man who asked me out in the grocery store the other day. All was going well, and we went back to his place. Okay.
All right. Okay. Good stuff.
All right. About a minute later, I am a confident, calm, and a self-assured woman, so I felt comfortable pooping in his bathroom. This was a mistake. His toilet did not flush. Properly. So, of course, like any calm, confident, self-assured woman, I panicked and flushed it a million times, making everything worse.
Now, what is it, clogged, or is it one of those like low stream toilets that?
I don't know. She didn't specify. Hmm. She didn't specify.
How dare you, anonymous worm?
So, misunderstood worm. All right.
Well, do we know who the worm is? If not, then I'm correct.
But so then this is where it starts to turn. By this point, I was really frantic because I had been in there for too long. There was only one single piece of poop. So in that moment, something came over me, and I knew exactly what I had to do. I got toilet paper and removed the one poop from the toilet. Once that was done, I realized I didn't have a plan. What do I do with it now? I can't fucking leave it here. By this point, I was really freaking out because I'd definitely been in there too long. So again, making another horrible decision, I did the only thing I could think to do. I wrapped it in multiple layers of toilet paper and put it in my purse. Okay.
Babe, so, your dildo stinks.
So then it says, all right, so now what? We're sitting there on the couch and kissing, and all I could think of is the piece of poop in my purse.
What a romantic.
Him, you are so beautiful. The moment you smiled, you had me. Me, that's really sweet. me in my head. I have a piece of poo in my purse. So then at this point, she says, I text my sister. Michaela, what is happening? What is happening? I don't know, but I have a piece of poo in my purse, and I'm afraid it's going to smell or fall out. She says, I need to do something. Does he only have one bathroom? Yes. Go outside. And it worked for half the poop. Maybe there's a window in the washroom. Jesus Christ. I could throw it out. This is too much. This is borderline too fucking much. That's from her sister. Okay. So after a few hours, he used the washroom, and I heard it flush. I figured he fixed it. Maybe not, but I have to take a chance. I have to try to flush the poop. So I brought my purse up to the washroom, unwrapped the poop, prayed to every god I know, put it in, and flushed. By the grace of God, it worked. The poo flushed. I was free. I was in the clear. Everything was going to be okay. I survived. I am a survivor. So that's my story. A man sat there telling me I'm the most amazing woman he ever met, not knowing 10 feet away in my purse was my poop that I'd fished out of his toilet. This is very embarrassing for me, but seriously, don't drink coffee before a date. It's better to be sleepy than to have to hide a poop in your purse.
Well, I mean, for starters, her saying, I'm a survivor, that's a really interesting take on that Beyonce song.
I'm a survivor. I flush my poopy.
So I guess she's saying the toilet wasn't working.
Yes.
And that's why she... I mean, this is the confusing part. If it was somewhat flushing, why not pick it up and, like, break it up if you're really that insecure? And then let it, like, piece by piece.
I don't know. But so she said he used a washroom and he heard it. I think I missed this tweet. So after a few hours, he used the washroom and I heard it flush. I figured he fixed it. Maybe not, but she had to take the chance.
So if it's broken, by rule, you just say, hey, your toilet's broken. Why are you fishing out turds to impress this guy?
Well, maybe she's really into this guy. Maybe she doesn't want to lose him over the big log she just laid in his toilet.
If you're into him and you figure you're going to be there for a while, he's going to see you. He's going to smell some of this stuff eventually.
Listen, this is first date stuff here. They just asked her.
Well, I noticed how she met him in a grocery store making out with him, and she's already making a decision to hide poops, for God's sakes.
Yeah, but
this woman takes a relationship too seriously.
But I'd rather hide the poop than maybe get caught, like clogging his toilet up.
I just take the hit. I'm like, this is kind of embarrassing. You got Roto-Rooter available.
But you know how people are. Maybe that's the end of their relationship. Maybe she never gets. Maybe this couple goes on to get married and have wonderful children and become a family, and that poop could have ruined the entire thing.
That sounds like a weird new sequel to Back to the Future.
Yeah,
Marty, you have to go out in the past. Your mom laid a big turd in the toilet.
You gotta fish the poop out. Get it out before she sees.
Oh, God, this is heavy, Doc.
My hands are fading away. I can't hold it.
I can't grab the turd. I just see her looking around. She's got, like, fishes. She gets one of those fish nets to grab the turd and hold it around. Oh, your fish are disgusting. You gotta clean out your water.
Now, have you ever had, like, a situation where you had to panic and go into, like, panic mode like this? Like, hide something?
I guess when I remember, like, when my brother had some kind of, like, Christmas party, whatever. It was one bathroom. We were in his trailer park home. And kind of what you figure. I did my stuff. I went to flush. It starts coming up a little bit. And I'm like, all right, let me check to see. I can't find a plunger. Like, all right, let me try to check and see outside. And I go outside, and I see something right there. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, I'm sorry, man. My stomach, man. I ate something bad. So I had to go back in there. I think I eventually found the plunger, but it's like, oh, you're coming out. I'm like, no. Reoccurring pooping.
I've had so many poops. I had the... one time with the ex, I was up at, she had a trailer in the Poconos, and I didn't know that you had to go to the comfort station, and comfort station, I drive down on the golf cart, and I go to poo, and I realize there's no toilet paper, you had to bring your own.
Oh, okay.
So I just used the only thing I had on me, my socks. Yeah. Which, believe it or not, socks, not that bad of a wiping device. You kind of put it on your hand. You're kind of protected.
Yeah.
You know, there's much worse out there than a pair of white socks.
You got more availability there. You can look on both sides, see how you're doing.
Yeah. The only problem is if you go over the two sock allotment, you're in trouble.
Bye-bye, going commando.
Yep.
I guess I got two other pooping stories, if you will. One is we went out to a buffet house. You know, we're eating pretty good, and I'm like, all right, I gotta let the kids out in the pool. So I go in the bathroom, and there's two stalls, and the one guy's in the stall, and the other one's locked. So I look under, and I realize there's nobody in the second stall. So it must have been some, douchey little kid who decided to lock the door and then crawl under and like, ha, gotcha. So I'm waiting there for the guy, and my dad shows up. I'm like, oh, man, I got to really use the bathroom. He's like, you sick? I'm like, no, I just got to use the bathroom. He's like, all right. And he puts his hands down his knee up. He's like, I'll pick you up. I'll boost you up to the window. So he does it, and I'm going up, and as I go up, I look over, and the guy's pooping, and he looks up at me, and it was this weird moment where our eyes connected. It's like, I don't know.
Either that guy's really tall, or...
I'm like, yo, they got more buffalo wings out, dude. Get out here.
Dude, what you doing in there?
Oh, man, the egg rolls. Dude, get out.
That's funny.
Sir, how's your service tonight?
So would you just go back down and be like, oh, shit.
No, I just went over the wall, did my business, and then got out, and I didn't
see. I had the opposite. I was in Boston, and I went to poo at the bar, and I locked the door, and then I tried to get out, and the door is completely jammed. So I'm like, and it was one of those doors that went all the way down to the floor, so I couldn't crawl under and get out. Mm-hmm. I could only go up, so I had to scale the door to get out of the bathroom.
Cliffhanger 2.
But another time at work, I work with basically all women, and our bathroom is co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
And I blow it up, I clog the toilet up, and I go to flush, and all of a sudden the water starts rising. I'm like, oh shit! Water's starting to spill over, and I had nothing to unclog. And there's no plunger in there, so I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? So there was a can of air freshener in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the bottom of the can and I dunked it into the toilet to fish out the toilet paper that was clogging it up, and I scraped it out and pulled it down, and then eventually got it to unclog. But there's water all over the bathroom floor. I'm like, and I ran back to out of there. It was not caught, which is amazing. Until this day, there is little scratch marks inside the toilet from the metal of the air freshener. Every time I go, I'm like, yeah, that was me.
Left my mark on my dynasty.
That's me.
I kind of had a similar situation like you, where I was at a campground, and we were in our camp facility, and you had to go to a main lobby a mile down the road to use the bathroom. So I was going to use somebody's car because I had to leave my car down. It was one of those, if you don't have four-wheel drive, your car is going to get freaking stuck, so you just leave it at the front parking lot.
Yes.
And everybody was asleep, and I couldn't find the car key, so I started walking down to the bathroom, and I had to go. So I'm like, oh god, what am I going to do? And I said, oh, I think I remember we walked through here. It was a little shortcut, and I can get to the bathroom. What I forgot was that shortcut involved crossing a river. So and I had to go back, and I'm not prepared, so I only had flip-flops and socks on, so I had to take them off and hold on to them, and I'm crossing the river. And the river's pretty decent stream, so
wait in the water.
And I'm barely holding on to my balance, while at the same time had to clench my butt muscles to make sure no accidents happen. And I just barely got to the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm my whole family, all the guys in my family. It's either we get hit with waves, and we got 3 minutes to find someone to go. My dad told me this story that my grandfather was so bad, he would just go anywhere. And one time they were down, in the Washington, by Arlington Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he just vanished. And where the hell did Dad go? And he shit behind a grave in Arlington Cemetery.
Terrorist!
Yep, that's Grandpa Brennan.
That sounds like a great opening to a horror movie. Some ghost comes out with, like, brown hair. You.
It was you.
Yo, I got colitis. I didn't mean to.
You got colitis. All right, let's see if we can get this guest on the line.
All right.
Now that we're done with poop talk. All right, so we are about to get our guest on here. Now, this is one of the guests we've, I think we've hunted down for, I don't know.
I would say around the same time as Cinema Snob. I would say,
yeah, close to the beginning of this whole guest finding
Sean
kind of
thing. Sean Kemp still has the record, by the way.
Yes. No, Sean's not coming on today. Not yet. We tried several times. But we tried to get this guy, Adrian Hayes, on for quite a while. And I don't know. He's kind of all over the world. So,
damn it.
That whole thing kind of gets in the way, but it looks like we're supposed to have him on now. And actually, we tried to have him on last week, but he was suffering from some migraines and whatnot. So let's see if we can get Mr. Adrian Hayes on the line right now. Well, it's ringing. That's always good.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Adrian Hayes?
It certainly is. We finally make it.
That is it. We were just saying, I think we have been in contact with you for close to a year.
I think it's been about 5 years anyway.
This is longer than his longest expedition.
It's the next world record. Longest guy to get on the podcast.
Yeah, it's taking the time, but we Brits, you know, we are a little way away from you guys, so we have to give us a little bit of time for post-arrive, you know, that sort of thing. So anyway, that's my excuse.
It is that whole over-the-pond kind of thing.
Oh, you got it. You got it. Anyway.
Anyway, Adrian, it's great to talk to you. Welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans Show, and it's, like I said, it's been a long time coming, so welcome aboard.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes.
Anyway, it's been nice to meet you all, so we'll see you again next time. Okay.
But Adrian, you—it's kind of hard to introduce you as to kind of sum you up because you got so many different things under your belt here. I guess the best way to describe you is an adventurer, I would say. What would you say?
Yeah, that's one of them. And though I suppose I do wear many hats. I mean, I got the adventuring hat on. I've been doing that all my life, basically. But they've just got a bit more serious the last few years, and I'm sure we're going to ask me a few more things about that.
No,
but I've got this.
Not
this
at all.
the speaking hat. I mean, I don't use the term motivational speaker. It's a bit of an American term, to be honest, because there's many more objectives than just motivation. But it's, you know, the keynote speaker, motivation speaker. I got my coaching hat, corporate coaching. I'm an MC. I'm a singer and a guitarist in a rock band.
Really?
I campaign on a load of stuff. I speak there. So I got a lot of different hats. So, you know, it makes life worth living. It's never a dull moment, but I have to work for it. I have to work for it.
Adrian, I need my front lawn mowed. It seems like you do a lot of stuff. How much would it take for me to get that to happen?
For you, we'll, you know, maybe $10,000 will do for a full.
I only got 9.5. I'm going to have to negotiate.
So, Adrian, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in a place called the New Forest in Hampshire, southern UK. And the nearest thing to put it's like a national park. But it's got villages, it's got roads, it's got towns, it's things. But ponies, you know, horses roam the streets and things like that. So that's where I grew up. So I sort of grew up, you know, doing the things that, you know, that kids used to do in the old days, you know, of climbing trees and going down rivers on rubber tires and making dens and setting fires to reeds and all these things. So we grew up in a real adventurous lifestyle.
Nice. It kind of sounds you grew up in like some kind of fantasy world where ponies and things running around, you're climbing trees. Did you go to school?
I did. And my school wasn't the most happiest time of my life. I mean, it was, you know, it was a rather strict school. Let's not bring what sort of school it was in, but it was quite a strict. So it taught us nothing but apart from discipline. And I actually left school at 16, which in the States is very unusual. You don't usually, you know, you should go to high school till 18. So I left at 16 with the minimum exam qualifications that you get that you take in British schools at 16. So I didn't actually exactly star academically.
I mean, that's kind of fun. Like, what was it about it? Was it you just like a restless person? I know you eventually ended up in the army. It's just you just didn't want to be there. Was it entertaining you?
Yeah, I was a little bit of an awkward child, I suppose. You know, middle child syndrome. My older brother's is a musician, a drummer, a musician in many bands. My younger brother's a pilot, so they're normal. I was the restless one. So, but even as a kid, I had these sort of pictures of polar explorers and mountaineers on my wall, and so I think even then, age like 10 and 13, that, you know, I was thinking of escaping from this life. And, you know, one of the great things, and I speak about goal setting, you know, one of the most powerful things you can do on goal setting is write them down. And as a 13-year-old, I wrote down, I'm going to walk to the North Pole. I'm going to climb Everest. I'm going to join the SAS, the British Special Air Service. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And pretty much 95% of them all came true. So there's something about writing down goals. So I left school at 16, and basically I worked on building sites as a farmer, as a refuge collector. I worked in New Zealand. I worked in Norway. I was climbing mountains. I was ocean sailing. I was subaqua diving. I was skydiving. I was doing, you know, the lot. And we call it in Britain a year out. You usually take a year out before university. I'm sure you have the same in the States. And this was like 2 years early, and it lasted for about seven. So that was my long year out. And it was then, you know, and I was doing all these adventures. And I was singing a rock band, you know, long hair. I looked like someone from Guns N' Roses at those stage. And then I thought, look, there's an organization that actually pays you to do all this adventuring, Lark. It actually pays you to do it. It's called the British Army. So I said, well, let's get the old clippers out and shave my hair off and join the army.
Yeah, I was just going to say to you, like, all that adventuring stuff sounds awesome, but it definitely there's a cost to it, whether it's just simple equipment or getting there or transportation out there. Like, how were you affording it at the time?
Well, ironically, I trained up to become a bricklayer, and the money – back then, you know, a few years ago, was actually really good. So I paid, I've earned some good money, and that's just paid my trips to the European Alps, to North America. I climbed Mount Rainier, Washington State. That was my first big mountain in the States, and then to the Rockies a few times after that. So then I worked in New Zealand, worked in Norway. So that was the two bases that I could launch all this stuff from as well. So I saved up and just spent it all, you know. Why save money? You're young, you're reckless, you're 18, 19, 20, you know, the world's your oyster, just go traveling around the world.
I mean, that's awesome. So what was like the first major, like you just said, you climbed Rainier, but what was the first major adventure you sought after, the one that would take time or that really took some planning? And what was the first major one, like, holy crap, like, that's pretty amazing?
Well, you see, the whole adventure world, you can do a heck of a lot in a week. So, you know, you go for a week in the Rockies or Kilimanjaro in Africa, or kayaking down something in Banff National Park, or, you know, you can do a lot in a week. In 2 weeks gives you a little bit more. 3 weeks, you can do a lot more. Now, so I did loads of things. And then, of course, then I joined the army, of course, and that, you know, we were on exercises 6 weeks in the jungles of Borneo or up in the Arctic or whatever it was. So that was my adventure kick then. But when it comes to the really serious stuff, and we're talking now, you know, lot endurance, things that take a long time, things that go high, you know, any big mountains above 8,000 meters, 25,000 feet, whatever, you know, you need time. You can't just nip up these things and go down again. So all these big stuff take about, 2 months. So I did a few mountains in the Himalayas in the course of in the 90s. Number ones, which probably the listeners would know them. But it was all leading up to the big of the first dreams, which was Everest, and which I climbed in 2006, 10 years ago. But I've been doing stuff all my life, and it was just a sort of culmination of everything up to them.
I mean, that's interesting. You seem to have like a very excitable kind of personality. Is it easy for you to plan for these adventures, or are you just one of those, let's just go out there, let's see what happens kind of deals? Or do you really like map out what you're going to do when you do some of these hikes and trips?
Yeah, these an 8,000 meter peak. So there's 14 of these big giants in the world, and there's only about 33 people who've done all of them. You don't just turn up on these mountains, you know, you plan them. So Everest, I put 3 years into it. K2, which is the second highest mountain in the world, which for those listeners who don't know, the difference between the second highest and the highest, it's chalk and cheese. K2 is the king of the mountains. It's steeper, it's ferocious, it's dangerous. You know, I put a good 2 years, 3 years into that thing as well. So you got to plan pretty seriously. And 3 months, so I keep a big base fitness. I mean, my general fitness things is, you know, I run, I cycle, I swim, I weight train, I rock climb, I hike, and I gym work. And so I do that regularly. That's just before breakfast, of course. And so you keep the base fitness level is right high up there anyway. And then sort of 3 to 6 months out of a big major trip, I sort of focus on what you're going to be doing. And it's a... You know, and it is total, utter focus, the old blinkers on. You know, you guys ask me, look, do you want to do a podcast for Variable Shenanigans? I say, sorry, guys, see you in 6 months' time.
Right,
you know,
it's
that sort of focus. So so that's how I sort of play it. Now, other people, you know, some people say, like Olympic athletes, they train 4 years for the Olympics in Rio or Montreal or wherever it is. You can't keep that intensity of training up for 4 years, believe me. You train up for the European champ, the national championships. You have a break, then the European championships, then the this. You know, you're building up, coming down. You can't keep the intensity going for 4 years, believe
right.
me.
So you summit K2, you summit Everest. Like, what kind of team are you looking at? How many guys are involved in doing something like that?
Yeah, the so first thing I should say on the adventure side, there are. I don't claim to be the best at anything. There are way better mountaineers than me, high altitude mountaineers. I'm going to give a few: Ed Visters, Conrad Anker, you know, some big names in the mountaineering world. They've done far more than me. There's some great rock climbers. I mean, your man Honnold Alex has been doing some fantastic stuff. He's crazy, but, you know, he does things. And there's better polar explorers, there's better desert, there's better jungle. But generally what you find in the adventure world, people specialize. You know, rock climbers, Alex Honnold is a specialist rock climber, and that's what he does. And he's fantastic at it. And Ed Visters was one of the most accomplished 8,000 meter peak mountaineers who's ever lived. So people focus. I'm just one of these guys who sort of does a bit of everything, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Climb, adventure racing, triathlon, Ironman, you know. Just do the lot. So a bit of a jack of all trades and a master of none in so many ways. But I like it. Just keeps it flexible. So that's how I approach it. Now, how you get your teams on this, on the 8,000 meter peaks, there's a small community of guys going around, and you regularly see them on the big mounts. You email or your Facebook with them who's going where this year. So small community there, relatively. Polar work is even smaller. It really is a small, because it's so damn expensive to get to either of the poles. And then deserts and jungles, even less. It's a very small community.
So what was the most amazing sight, like when you first started going to these, like peaking at Mount Everest? Like, what are some things like people don't even realize or consider when you hit that peak, what you see or what you feel?
Yeah, how long we got on this podcast? I mean, you know, what's? I mean, my Everest story is quite remarkable how it ended up. I mean, my oxygen mask broke on the whole of the summit night. So basically, you leave at 10 p.m., 10:30 at night, the top camp after. So you've been there 7 weeks or so. You leave finally. You're going up the mountain. Camp one, camp two, camp three, camp four, and you leave the final camp 10 p.m., 10:30 to get to the summit by the next morning, then to get back down that camp by the next afternoon. So you're going about 18 hours. My oxygen mask broke on that final night. And the beauty was, so I summited without oxygen apart from the final 2 hours I'd gone working. But the beauty was that my teammates were ahead of me and gone, long gone. So I was the last one up that season. And I had the whole summit to myself for an hour 20. And it was the most amazing... one of the most amazing experiences I had. I mean, Everest gets a lot of controversy nowadays. You know, people say it's easy. You know, you just Sherpas pull you up and just pay enough money, you get up there. I mean, it's still hard, but that view from the top was quite incredible. But One strange, funny story, or it's a true story. I used to work for Airbus. So I used to sell aircraft for a living. I'm sure both of you have got your own private aircraft in your garage.
It's on the way.
It's on the way. You know,
we're getting it painted in the verbal shenanigans colors, but continue.
Right.
So I used to work for Airbus. You know, that's the opposite of Boeing. You know, the great rivals of Boeing. Now, the great thing about Airbus is actually about 50% of their component parts comes from the States. But anyway, I used to sell aircraft for a living to Middle East, West Asia, and Airbus asked me, so I lived in Toulouse for 1 year, and Airbus asked me in their good French, Adrian, is it possible to take the A380 model to the summit of Everest, and a full-up A380, the super jumbo? And they asked me to take it to the top of Everest and blow it up so they could put it on their website. Well, I tried to blow this thing up, but of course, you know, the biggest single problem climbing big mountain is getting oxygen in lungs, and it looked like a deflated paddling pool on the top of Everest. So the idea of flying this and filming it gliding across the Tibetan plains, it didn't quite work out. So that's just one sort of a true story of Everest. But anyway, yeah, but that's one of the most amazing sights I've seen from the top of the world.
So I mean, that's awesome. But you, one of the things it seems like you're known for is this North Pole, South Pole, and Everest summit in, I forget how many days, like a year and a half, something like that?
One year,
217 days.
Right. So was that a planned thing to do all three of those, or was that, like, three different things that came together in the shortest time? Like, how did that come about? And first off, actually, tell me how that came about, and then I got a couple questions for you on that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I sort of had my eyes on the polar world, and you know, Everest was a bit of a linchpin. I mean, there's three big major experiences in my life. One was going to the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, training to be an army officer. One was summoning Everest, and the other was getting into the whole coaching development.
What? But not today. I thought today was the third. Being on the podcast.
I mean, I've got to rewrite my CV here. This is the biggest.
This is the real summit, my friend.
So everything hinged on sort of climbing Everest, and I was only about one attempt, and when I got up there, I literally came back, you know, just dancing on water. I wasn't going around saying, people, hi, my name's Adrian Hayes, I just climbed Everest, you know. No, you know, you keep humble about it, but you just felt I could do everything. So I said, look, I'm going to try and go for the poles, and sort of went for, you know, the hardest one of the lot. The North Pole is the hardest thing on this planet. I'll tell you a little bit more in a second why. But so I went for the North Pole with a real stretch out of comfort zone and got there. And then I thought, well, I'm on a roll here. Let's go down south and hit the South Pole and just see if we can do this. And so miraculously, I got all three first time. And it was only about a month before the South Pole trip said, the PR agency said, agent, you know, you'll be the person who's done it in the shortest time. And I said, really? Okay, well, great. I'm just happy to be the 15th who's ever done it in history. That's pretty good enough for me. And so they took it up and they sent it to Guinness, and Guinness put it in the Guinness World Records a year later. So that was one.
Now, how do you get from, like, the end of, I don't know, did you go through North America to the North Pole? Like, what about the water parts, like, that aren't connected?
Yeah, so that's the problem, the North Pole. So why is the North Pole the hardest thing I've ever done? And I'm including K2, I'm including it is the hardest by some way. So the reason is, fellas, it goes, you've got, it's ice, it's the Arctic Ocean, it's melting, you know, it's thin. So you've got to go early spring, early March to start from the top of Canada. And we spent a whole month in Canada just training, getting ready for the cold, because I've been to minus 30 below, you know, regularly, and that's minus 30 Celsius, which in Fahrenheit is, I think, about 22 below, minus 22, if I got that right. Can't remember exactly. I think 40 below, they all sort of merge. But so we spent – you guys still use these strange measurements. But anyway,
we're
so
strange.
So we prepared 30 below, you know, average, and a month training. But once you hit the Arctic Ocean – top of Canada, it went down to minus 60, which is about minus 72 Fahrenheit.
Minus 76, according to Google.
Thank you very much. There you go. I wasn't good. What a bad guess. And,
well, you know, made it sound so warm, I had to correct you.
They all merged together, remember?
Now, at that temperature, you don't quite think straight. You know, you're in shock, and you've got to pull a sled for about 15 hours a day. and as well as that, just battling to survive. So just to eat, we ate 7,500 calories a day just to survive. Most of that was butter and fat. And you're falling through the ice. It's cold. You're always hungry. You're always in pain. Always in pain. The pain. This. You're always hungry. You're always fatigued. So it was an absolute brutal trip over 2 months. But somehow we got there. But I can't describe how ridiculous the whole thing was. You know. But, so it's there. Polar bears live on the Arctic Ocean. Not humans.
So, like, when you were crossing the water parts, was it all frozen, or did you take, like, how did you skip from section to section there?
Yeah, so the ice is all breaking up. It's moving. It's drifting. You know, if it was moving the way the pole, it'd be quite nice. You know, sit on, fellas. Let's just enjoy the ride. But it's always going against you. And they say some bits, you know, you see a crack in the ice, and then it starts to expand. You're sort of running over with the sled and pull over there. Jesus. Other times you see this big gap and it closes up. And then sometimes you're just left on a drifting piece of ice. So we put on our dry suits at, I think, minus 42, minus 45. And we tested these things in a swimming pool in Iqaluit in Canada. But at 42 below, the plastic rotted, and so they leaked. So we got soaked.
Jesus. And oh, my God.
And nothing dries because the sun's just a blip on the horizon. Nothing dries at all. And it took like 7 days to dry these things, dry any our wet clothes. You know, I was spared a little bit, but Ian Morpeth, one of my teammates, was soaked to the skin. So you just shake your hand and think, what are we doing here? I mean, the number of times I said, what am I doing here? You know, this is crazy. But you just keep... just pushing through the old pain barrier. The old military, side helped quite a fair bit, to be honest. And just smile in the face of adversity.
It's interesting. Like, obviously, there's a ton of inherent danger there in any of these things. Do you have like some kind of safety plan, or people you communicate with all, or just once you go, you're on your own? How does that work?
The safety plan consists of getting on a sat phone and shouting help. Yeah. Yeah, it's not that easy to get rescued up there. You know, if you break a leg, if you fall in, you aircraft can't just sort of land. You've got to find a piece of flat ice, which is not much. And it costs a fair bit of money, you know, $100,000 to rescue you. So you've got to be...
Just leave me.
So there's always plan B. I mean, you've got to be flexible on all these trips because things go wrong. And your whole... Your ability to succeed on any of these trips, but particularly a North Pole trip, is your ability to overcome the challenges. You know, bits break, sleds break, and bodies break, and things, everything's breaking. You've got to repair it with whatever limited supplies you've got. And I'm talking, you've heard the old story, you know, sawing off toothbrushes to save weight. Well, we cut everything down to weight. We even shared, and I hope women and children listening to this don't get offended, but we even shared a pee bottle between three of us.
Nice.
So there you go. So, you know, Richard would have a pee, and then in the middle of the night, howling wind, you say, "Who's got the pee bottle?" And you open up your three sleeping bags, your little hole, and get the pee bottle, have your own pee in there. So you cuddle up to a nice little hot water bottle of his pee and your pee. So it's real teamwork. I'm sure you do this.
It's borderline romantic, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there's nothing romantic.
We're sharing a pee bottle right now.
Yeah,
I hope you are. I want
and
but,
like,
yeah, any. I mean, we had three men on this trip, but, you know, not to distinguish between the sexes or anything, but any ulterior motives of romance or liaisons is certainly put the pades at this these temperatures. It's a lot on your mind. Next question.
Now, how do you keep your sanity while you're on this trip? And do you guys just trek along? Do you have, like, conversations? And what's it like out there doing this?
You don't keep your sanity. You go completely stark raving bonkers. I have teammates there, but the wind's howling. You don't have much time to talk, and when you stop, brief 2 minutes, 1 minute, you're just slapping some food down, some chocolate or nuts or cheese, just to get energy. There's not much time to talk. So I used to walk an iPod. So at certain times, you'd put a bit of music on. And ironically, you know Phil Collins, of course.
Uh-huh. I
I don't want an iPod shuffle on. In the air
tonight. Give me that pee bottle.
Hold on.
On my South Pole trip, so I thought it was quite efficient. I had an iPod shuffle, and so I had about 1,000 tunes. But every sort of 10th tune that came up, Phil Collins kept coming up with Another Day in Paradise, which was very nice. Thanks, Phil. And then Take Me Home, you know, song Take Me Home.
Mm-hmm.
And Please Take Me Home. You know that one. And I said, shut up, Phil, please. I've had enough now. When I've heard that song about 10 times, you know, that's in it. So yeah, a little bit of music just inspires you. But
I'm amazed the iPod works. And
yeah,
under
Apple
40,
should have a commercial like that.
Negative 40.
Well, yeah, degrees. Maybe Phil should use me on one of his adverts. But you know, you stuff this thing down a warm place to keep it, you know, to keep the batteries alive. So stuff it down your underpants or something like that. And
so
a
you
long
keep
lead
it in
up
the pee bottle, okay.
And then a long lead to play it. But yeah, but I think you can use it all the time, but because it'd be used running batteries. But yeah, just for a few hours a day, just to break up the monotony of it all. So so it was. I mean, both pole trips were brutal, but the South Pole is pretty special, and I think that's my most amazing place. Antarctica is quite incredible, and I went back there on a ship a few weeks ago just to speak. I was on a speaking on it, and it is. It's on everyone's list and everyone's bucket list. Go to Antarctica. It's a pretty special place.
Hmm. Now, through doing all this, like, was there? I mean, obviously, to do anything for over a year and a half straight for one goal has to be, like you said, mind-numbing, you know. How do you stay focused on it? What is the goal, just to accomplish what you set out to do, or is there, like, how do you stay focused on just, okay, I got to get this done, or are you enjoying it, or is it just, like, what is the mindset there?
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, well, that all comes back to why you're doing it, and you know, and I always say this in my things, that if you set goals that are in line with your values, so I do a lot of work with this, with personal work, with teamwork, leadership work. You got, you know, understanding what makes you tick, you know, and that's it. And so doing these things, you know, my values, health and fitness and sport and freedom and adventure, it all ticks the boxes. So you're sort of, you know, you're prepared to put in the hard work to make these things happen, because I get some people. So to give you an example, some people say to me after a speaking lecture, and they see my videos and pictures, and they say, yeah, Mr. Hayes, I want to climb Everest, you know, and I want to climb Everest. And I said, OK, what's your name, sir? He said, Mr. Jonathan Davies. OK, Jonathan, how much fitness do you do right now? And he says, nothing at all. I smoke 40 cigarettes a day. I drink 5 pints of bitter. I drink 3 whiskeys, you know, and you know, you said it was not impossible, but the stark truth is you'll probably fail, because it's, you know, it's not in your whole value. So to go back to your question, you know, it's about setting goals and turning it to the values. Then you've got, you know, you've got sponsors to look after who are paying money, and you've got a goal there, or you might be doing for various, you know, for some reason. So you put enough work into these things. That's how I stay focused. But the thing I think has changed over the years, I did it in the early years really was for the achievement. It was for you know, reaching the North Pole, reaching the South Pole, climbing this, climbing that, crossing the desert, crossing Greenland, or the length of Greenland we did on kites. So it was all about the setting the goal. But these days I do it much more for a little bit, you know, for learning purposes, and escaping our information overloaded world. I just can't wait to get away from it for about a couple of months. Give me some break. But so there's different reasons now, anyway. But it is hard. You know, you can't. You got to set the interim goal. You can't, like Greenland. We did it vertically, and we did it using kites. And I was an expert kite surfer before I did it. I'd never done it in my life, I was trying to do the longest journey that's ever been done in Arctic history, so that was a bit of a quick learning curve. But you know, these things are so long, you can't think 3 months into the future. You know, it's setting interim goals, you know, small steps along the way, because it just does your head in to think too far. I mean, and I know there's a lot of the coaching world, you know, say, what's your 5-year plan? You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years time? And I said, that was quite a good accent. Where was that from? you know, I said, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I plan at 1 year, 1.5 years ahead, but I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years' time. So it's a little bit sort of waiting to see interim goals and see where it takes you.
Now, on one of your trips on the K2, I read about how there was some tragedy with a couple of the mountain guys who passed away. I believe Marty Smith and his son. I mean, with doing all this, does that kind of bring to home how dangerous this stuff is? Or how do you manage when you're halfway up a mountain and this kind of tragedy occurs?
Yeah, I mean, this is K2. And for those who say don't know, K2, it's got a really morbid history. I mean, it's only been summited by 330 people before 2013. Everest has been summited by 4,093 people.
Wow. No.
The last 7 years, only 2 years of people got up. For every four people who get to the top of K2, one dies trying.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's a pretty risky old venture. And but so 2013, only 20 climbers, different teams, about eight teams going up. And, you know, the weather conditions were so bad, the snow conditions were so there that 18 of us decided it was too risky and come down. Two guys decided to head on up, and that night they were wiped out by an avalanche. California-born Marty Smith, and he you know, became a native New Zealander, and his son. And they were strong, and they were confident, strong guys, knew them well. And I think, you know, to be fair, they were pushing on. They injecting some positivity in a very negative atmosphere. But I suppose it's where a bit of self-belief can, you know, I take self-belief is such a powerful weapon, but you've got to have 10% of a little bit of humility. And I think you just got to be listened. So we came down. So it did affect us. But, you know, I thought, is that it? You know, I don't fail things. You know, I just got to camp two on K2. That was it. And again, something that told me to go back again the following year. And I'm really big into gut instinct, fellas. I mean, it's, you know, we all have it. But the problem I've got with the world we live in today is it's just smothered by technology. You know, we just sat navigators tell us from A to B, and we just follow the sat nav and it tells us turn left here, turn right after 100 meters and turn. And we just don't even think, and we don't want facts. We just turn on the computers, and that's it. And you lose your senses about your senses of east, west, of what's right, what's wrong, judging things. And that's why I try and use these things a lot. So it was gut instinct that told us to go down. Gut instinct told me to go back again. And 2014, the weather was fantastic, and I got up on the 26th of July 2 years ago. So a great, you know, something I'm very proud of.
So, Adrian, we could talk to you all day about all different things you've done, but you know, we only have a little bit of time. But what is going on currently? What's in the horizon? What are you doing currently? If there, what have you recently done? What do we expect from you?
Yeah. So last year, I'd done number one and two in the world, Everest K2, and I was attempting number four and five in the world, the biggest mountains. But I was caught in the Nepal earthquake last year, and. And I ended up spending a month after, 5-6 weeks afterwards. I was a former paramedic with the special forces, and all the old skills just came out, and I was training there. So I've set up a charity, went back in November, set up a charity, and going back there in May, providing medical work in remote hills of Nepal. And I suppose anyone listening to this who's medically trained, I mean, it's early stages how much we take this, but please get in touch with me via my website, adrianhayes.com, and we'll see what we can do. But it could be big, could be just me and a few mates going every year. So there's that one. I'm going back to the jungle. So I've where I lived for spent 2 years in a jungle in my military service, and going back there to do a jungle project. I've done the desert. By the way, I won't be going back on a camel again in the future. That is the most painful experience I've ever undertaken.
Really?
Riding a camel for 2 months across the desert. Yeah. I'm still rather sore in the nether regions about that one. And so on the adventure side, a lot of things. But I'm, you know, on the old leadership development, team development work, I'm pushing on these things as well. A lot of things, my campaign work on things. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life. You know, please, anyone interested in seeing a variety of blog posts, please go on my website, adrianhayes.com, or my Facebook page, which is Adrian M. Hayes, and there's something for everyone.
Now, I got to ask, you've been all over the world. You speak different languages. You've been in some areas where us Americans are concerned about, like Pakistan, and even in living in the United Arab Emirates. What seeing this entire world, why don't you tell us, what's your view on the world today, as in, like, people? Is it, are we overthinking how scary the world is and what people are? Are you happy with the people that you come across? Just out of curiosity, as a world traveler, how do you see
things? You know, it's an interesting question, because let's take Pakistan. See, the only news we read in the West, whether it's UK or US, on Pakistan is corruption, poverty, suicide bombs, you know, all this stuff. Now, you go into the hills of Pakistan, the Karakoram, and it is absolutely the most stunning scene you will see anywhere in the world. The people are great. And and it's the same thing, you know. It's the power of media, and I'm a great look. I'm not a Luddite, you know. I use technology to its fullest and all the rest of it. But of course, you know, when we read a terrorist bomb here, a terrorist bomb there, and it makes us all afraid of where to go. But I take the view, look, hundreds of years ago, that, you know, 100,000 people might be killed on one day at some battle in Europe. You know, we have become a bit evolved since then. So, you know, and that's the other part of my work is really, you know, raising awareness and consciousness and evolving that, you know, conflict really belongs to centuries ago. As we evolve, it really sort of just dissolves in meaning. So the world is probably not as bad as we make out. But, you know, we've got a lot of I'm big on sustainability as well. And I think, you know, growth isn't, and competitiveness isn't the be all and end all of the world we live in. And that's it. And, you know, so I could talk for hours on this thing alone, but we can't. But so, you know, the world's a great place, but we have got a lot of challenges, let's be honest. And it's just redefining our consciousness and awareness and realizing that maybe we've got to rethink the way we do things.
Last question. What are you scared of?
Yeah. Now, I take the view. Yeah, that's
so loud.
Awkward podcasters to ask the awkward questions at the final one. I haven't got time to consult my Wikipedia to give a good answer. So courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the willingness to face it. So that's the thing. I'm not some fearless guy. I think Alex Honnold is a great example who seems to be fearless. No, just the willingness to step in there and see what's there. But I think what would be fearful for me? I think it'd be lonely, you know, being an old man on my own, you know, sitting in a rocking chair with all my books beside me and no one to talk to. I really enjoy people. And when you come to any of my seminars or team coaching programs, leadership development programs, you know, I stay around and talk to people afterwards and have dinner and all the rest of it, because I actually quite like people. I like you guys, even though I've never met you, but, you know, you seem really nice guys too.
It's a front.
Yeah.
I'm happy to chat for another 2 hours if we like after this, although it is 11 p.m. here in the UK, so we may have to retire after we sign off. But, yeah, so I think loneliness. Funny enough, there you go. There's an honest
opinion
there. I'm just surprised he knows what a chair is, the way he runs around. I mean, what is this crazy thing? It's called a sofa, Adrian.
Sofa,
I never used this thing before.
I'm actually sitting on a beanbag right now. I'm actually injured right now. A few injuries, you know. It's just, you know, us tough polar explorers. Your hair goes out of place. Eyelashes sort of get a little bit, sort of, you know, things like this.
Well, you look gorgeous, so.
So a little injury to overcome. But, you know, the body's had a bit of a beating the last few years, so it's only natural. A bit like you guys sitting behind your microphones, it takes a beating, you know.
Yeah, one time the microphone, I got my finger pinched in the mic clip. It took me weeks to recover.
Yeah, we had to get a second host just to recover him.
That's serious. Did you get paramedics in to fix it?
We flew them in, yeah.
It was too expensive. It was around the same price as the South Pole.
Adrian, thank you so much for popping on. It's been a long time coming, and we'd love to chat with you in the future when you have another thing coming up or you have something coming out. So thanks so much for coming on, and we'd love to talk soon.
Pleasure, guys. Keep up the great work.
I got a couple things here, brother, so it's up to you. You want to go?
I will defer for the first round.
Okay.
I'll take the kickoff in a second.
You know, we spent a lot of time together, a lot of time, you know, probably close to 100 hours, you know, maybe more with the UPWA podcast.
that was the first 100 hours.
So you should know me pretty well by now.
All right.
So we're going to see how well you know me.
All right.
You can take a little quiz on me. Okay.
Sounds good.
I got about 12 questions or so. And we'll stop for brief conversations on certain ones. But I'm going to start very easy or basic questions and kind of bring it up from there.
Okay.
All right.
Male.
What is my favorite color?
I'm going to go with green.
Sorry, bro. You are 0 for 1. It is orange.
Oh.
Orange is my favorite color.
If I guess black, would that count it?
No. I don't like the blacks. I mean, I don't like black. I mean.
Racist shenanigans.
Big fan. Big supporter of the Clamp. My brother, what is my shoe size?
Shoe size? We got relatively the same size feet. I am going to go with 11.
Sorry, Michael Barlow. 13. 13.
Oh, damn.
13. 12 and something, but usually 13. All right.
Went under. Should have went over on mine. Because I'm 12 and a half.
Ooh. What's your shoe size, though?
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, you.
Okay. What are the names of my brother and sister?
Pass. I already know that. I'm the worst. Even sometimes I see your brother, I'm like, hey.
No idea. You went to his house on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm terrible. Dude, I've had best friends in high school. I had no idea what their names were. I just made up nicknames for them.
Well, bro, it's time to guess.
Sean and Seanette.
I'm sorry. 0 for 3. Tim and Colleen would have been the answer.
All right.
Tim and Colleen.
Sorry about that, Tim. well, Matt is... his daughter for calling me a pretty princess after the alien podcast.
I'm not a pretty princess.
No.
No. All right. We talked about this on the podcast. What did I have on while experiencing my first kiss?
Ooh. Wow, I'm terrible. My memory's usually good. My memory's terrible tonight.
So what did I have on? It was actually a name of one of the episodes. It's a big hint.
I don't suppose I say clothes. That would be correct.
No, I had clothes on, but that's not what not the answer I'm looking for.
I'm not doing too good.
No, you're going to go 0 for 5 here.
Yeah. Slippers.
Sorry. Rollerblades.
Rollerblades. Rollerblades.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It looks like we're going to have to go another 100 episodes. All right. What animal was my first pet?
What animal was your first pet? No, it's not you.
me.
I'm trying to give you a hint.
Was an animal my first pet? And then there's a second part to the question, which could be a funny story to tell.
I am going to say rat.
A rat? What kind of maniac do you think I am? A rat? Did you have a rat?
No, but I know people get like the ones from Petco, like the bigger.
Yeah, to feed them to their snakes.
Well, maybe you were hoping
first
for a
off,
snake.
First off, one thing you should know about me is I hate rats. I hate rats. I hate rats and mice. I'm not a big fan of them.
All right, I'll mark that down for questions next, on episode 200.
All right, I had a rabbit named Scooter.
Oh,
okay, a rabbit.
That sounds sweet.
Now, Scooter was a black rabbit. And
when you don't like black.
Right, yeah. So... we would keep him in the patio out here, and he would run around. He had a good life, and he would have this ball, like this kickball, and he would jump on this ball and just start humping it. And his little rabbit boner would come out and just like be flopping. He was pretty hung for a rabbit. Well, he's a black rabbit, but so he'd be humping this ball, and then like after he was done doing that, he would start sprinting in circles, like gaining as much speed as possible, and then, oh, bam, head into the wall, like every time, like. As fast as a rabbit could run, right into the wall every time. So he'd, like, shake it off, you know, and, like, I don't know. It was
shake
weird.
It off.
But the thing was, okay, this is a big conspiracy in the Brennan family.
All right.
I loved the rabbit. I liked him. Mother hated the rabbit, right?
Gotcha.
Okay. He would chew on the siding. We had, like, mm-hmm. the old, like, wooden shakes back then. Okay. Now, the weekend comes where my parents decided to put aluminum siding on the house.
Okay.
Okay. So, I'm away somewhere. And, you know, like, my mom was always complaining. He's chewing on the goddamn shingles again.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this thing. Damn rabbit. Blah, 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 blah. And so I'm like, now, this is the middle of July.
Okay.
Okay. So I come home. My parents are acting weird. They're like, oh, Scooter died. I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. You know, like, man, that really sucks. And I'm a little sad. I'm like, oh, what happened? Like, they're like, well, you know, we had his cage out in the backyard. Okay.
And all interesting start to the story.
Yeah. All of a sudden, we just found him like, with his like tongue hanging out and like, you know.
With bike marks all over him.
Now, here's where the conspiracy part starts.
All right. All right.
He's a black rabbit, right?
Mm-hmm.
100 degree July day in a cage. What do you think happens to a black rabbit in 100 degree weather?
Smells delicious.
Maybe after cooking for a while, right? It gets roasted. It dies. Okay. Now, you're telling me that my mom, all this time, worried about her house, didn't like the rabbit, gets new siding on the house, and just didn't roast him out in the sun on purpose? I don't think so.
Hmm. Maybe he went to a farm out in the country.
That would have been a better excuse because you want to know where he went.
Dinner?
My dad put him in a bang and and drove behind the Chinese restaurant and threw it in the dumpster.
You could have went through the front door, but it got the same results.
So I'm just picturing my dad like sneaking behind the restaurant. What are you doing? So that's the conspiracy. So to this day, I still don't believe them that they did not kill my rabbit.
You're just sneaking up to the. I'm so close. Nobody say a word. What's that noise? What? Ah!
So go ahead, PETA. Come after us. You come after them,
mm-hmm.
bastards. Mm-hmm. What body part of mine did I break several times?
Teeth.
Correct.
Woo!
Woo! One for whatever.
I sort of know you.
Yes,
I'm now your acquaintance.
I have broken my teeth numerous times. Some of it enters some bits. What is my middle name?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that question. Mm-hmm. God damn. And Brennan.
Very good. Very good. Scott, Brennan, I got to establish the end point and work my way in.
All right. I got the bread down. I got to figure out what the meat is. Daniel, I don't know.
Thomas would be the answer.
Ah,
Thomas.
I knew it was nothing crazy.
STB.
Ah, like the password, which I will give out right now on the recording. That's weird.
God,
all
you're really just digging
down.
All. Like the password we all put in with those numbers. Oh, these numbers. Right. That's very similar to your social security number where I know. Would you like to hear that?
Scott, is that like your checking account number, which is 9175?
All right. What animals, which of these animals' brains have I eaten?
Pig.
Correct. Yep. I was going to give you options, too.
Yep, that was the laser episode.
Yep, the laser episode. Okay, very good. You're coming back. You're swinging hard. Okay, I did eat a pig brain once. I think it's like scrambled eggs. Which of the following is not a name of the of a band I played in growing
up?
Okay. Which of the following is not a name?
Okay.
A, Not Quite Banana.
Go on.
B, Project Porpoise.
Okay.
C, Linus.
Okay.
D, the rifle, or E, polarized.
Oh, wow. I got 1 in 5 shot.
That would be 20%, sir.
Yeah. Well, that's my current rate right now, so.
Not even close.
Right now, the Sixers are laughing at me. I'm losing.
So again, as A, not quite banana, B, Project Porpoise, C, Linus, D, the rifle, or E, polarized.
I'm going to go with the rifle.
I'm sorry, Mike Berlow. Polarized was not a band I played in. I played in a band called Not Quite Banana in high school.
I knew that.
Project Porpoise was a funny project I did with my buddies. Linus was the band I was with Taryn and Juan, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rifle was another band I was in college.
Yeah, and it was down between D and E. The Rifle sounds so simple. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
It's continuous. All right, where did I study abroad in college?
Ropepopopo.
Study abroad. That means overseas.
Oh, United Kingdom.
Okay, yeah, London would be the end. But yes, yeah. You know, I'll give it to you. You know, very good.
Did I say it on the podcast or was it just...
Just hanging out maybe? I don't know.
I remember you were... And you were even wearing the shirt and I couldn't read it off the shirt. He's like, what is wrong with you? Look at this. Do you see that many peas in here?
Ram pum 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 pum. Well, all right. What is one recurring dream I always have?
Me.
No.
Darn.
I know we talked about this somewhere.
All right, go on. Oh, I don't want
to. Go ahead. Give me the answer, please. What is one recurring dream? Which I learned on the, I'll plug them real quick, the All in Our Heads podcast, Joe Fernandez and Mike Gaffney. Mike Gaffney has the same dream that I do, which is interesting.
I'm going to say falling.
No.
Okay.
The one dream I do constantly have, I have two, but one I have all the time is my teeth falling out.
Okay.
And like where I'll be like, gritting like my teeth and they'll just start crumbling and decaying, and apparently that's like a very common dream. Like I look it up, apparently like it has to do with like change or like stress or something like that. It's funny because I was listening to, well, I know I talked about it somewhere on the podcast in 100 episodes, but Mike Gaffney was talking about the same, like literally to a T. He's like, I smile and then my teeth start to have pressure and just crumble. I'm like, oh my god, that's exactly what I have. Like, the other one is kind of falling. I have a dream that I go off a bridge all the time, and it's always the South Amboy Bridge. I'm driving, and I lose control of the car, and I hit the side, and I'm going over, and I never hit the water. I always wake up right before I hit the water.
Oh, the Merman episode.
Merman.
Scotty the Merman.
All right, I got two more for you.
All right, let's go.
All right. What was the topic of the first ever joke I told on stage? Okay, is it A, masturbation?
Okay.
B, vagina bracelets. C, panhandlers in high school. Or D, types of pissers.
Play that on here. I'm gonna go C.
Panhandlers in high school?
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is what I opened with. I opened with, hey, guys, I come in the city. There's all these panhandlers here. Reminds me of being in high school again. And, different. But the other ones came after that. That was a very good guess, Mike Berlow.
Yeah. I knew it wasn't a bracelet.
Bracelets was modern me.
Yeah.
Still whipped that bad boy.
Yeah, and
out.
The other stuff I remember was on the tail end when we were so kind of cringing, you know.
Yeah, like the panhandlers thing, I could have some legs. The other two, I'm like, ugh. All right.
So fucking a porcupine.
So bad. So bad. All right, last question. Get to know Scott Brennan here. I once recorded a few rap songs under a rap name. Okay, which of the following was the rap name I went under?
Okay.
Is it A, the Red Storm?
Okay.
Is it B, the Pale Pilot?
Mm-hmm.
Is it C, Brennan Butters? Or is it D, Magic Mick?
C.
C, Brennan Butters is correct. Me and my buddy Adam, he was Crispy Flo, and I was bread and butter. And then my my one friend I recorded a couple of songs, his name was Andrew, he was Drew Bagels. And the other guy was Bobby Locks. Mm. And the name of the band was Twisted Orthodox. One day I'll just, maybe on this one, I'll just throw it at the end.
Yeah.
We had one song called Way Up, but it was fun. So, yeah. So I guess you have a lot to learn about me.
Yeah.
A lot to learn. You figure after we spend 900 hours together, you would know a little bit more. Yeah. I'm a little depressed.
Who are those two people that keep coming downstairs?
Oh, those are called parents.
Oh. Oh. You know I got parents, too.
They've been on the cast.
Yeah.
Mine haven't been yet. One day we're going to get Dad on.
One day.
One day.
Hey, the person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Oh, that stinks.
The person whom you're trying to reach is...
All right, so maybe we have no guest on tonight. Hmm. It is what it is. Let me check the old email real quick. All right. So, yeah, I guess you don't get to know me too well, Mike Berlew, but we carry on. We push on.
Yeah.
We move on, you know.
I can change.
This isn't the first guest we've had to reschedule or do again. Or we should have a guest on anyway.
Let's try the Shark Attack guy just to see.
Oh. The Shark Attack guy.
It's like 6:40 in the morning over there. Hey!
It was so funny. Alex was telling me the other day, she's like, because I told her, now, who just recently canceled on us? Something happened.
Who recently canceled on us? I don't recall.
Whatever. This is good. This is a good story real quick. I didn't even think about this. I got an email from, I'm not going to say her name. A older woman who runs shows in New Jersey.
Okay.
And once before, I got a nasty email from her randomly saying that I was doing too many shows.
Oh yeah.
Elsewhere that I shouldn't. Maybe this wasn't for me. Now keep in mind, this is like a weeknight show. I mean, a Sunday night show. Mm-hmm. In little room, cool room, little workout room.
A little bit up north.
Everyone gets to play. You know, mm-hmm. Like. So this time I email her, hey, blah blah blah, here are my dates, and she didn't give it. And then I emailed her like a couple weeks later. I said, oh, I didn't know if you did you get my dates. I'm sending, you know, if any are any available. She's like, I'm recovering from eye surgery, blah 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 blah. I said check in later on. I'm like, I thought later on, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks was like later on.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain myself, and I get a message back. Scott, please leave me alone.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. I mean,
now, I'm used to that answer from people, but yeah. Still.
Now, if you're just trying to get bookings, like, and all I literally said was, do these dates work? Like, yeah. And that's kind of how you do anything. Like, hey, I have these dates. Can you, you know, are any of the shows available? And I got a nasty response. Mm. Leave me alone.
You burn a bridge. Comedy career is over. You might as well pack it in, buddy.
I didn't burn it. I said, oh, that's okay. I hope your eye surgery goes well. No. I'll check in later on.
You kept poking at the bear when the bear had laser surgery. So,
the bear had laser eyes.
It was a laser bear.
That the old laser bear.
I remember back in the 40s.
How great of a name for a band with Happy Laser Bear. I love that. I'm starting it now.
You get like a stuffed grizzly, and then you get like those laser pointers.
That's a great name for a band, like a kind of like dance like rock band,
or like flames coming out.
We are Laser Bear. Love it, doing it. I was in a band called Bear Arms, BEAR, with Taryn and all these guys. I was in the same bands with, but yeah, that was a little weird. That kind of upset me a little bit because I am, as you know, Mike, I am a very nice man. Yeah. I don't come across. Weird. I think sometimes just nice people get shit on when people are.
It's terrible when there's a misunderstanding.
You are too. You're very similar to me. Like you don't. You hate conflict. you know.
Yeah, I don't like it, and it seems like when I get into a conflict, it's always something stupid. It's just like, I'm not trying anything here. Yeah. I'm not trying to get in a debate with you or point something. It just always seems like I just say something, and it just hits somebody's nerve at the right time, and it's just like, oh, give me a break.
Exactly, exactly.
Hmm.
All right, what do you got?
I was thinking about stuff for tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You were thinking about stuff?
Yeah.
Oof.
So let's talk about stuff. You know that thing?
Yeah.
It's great.
The one with the stuff on it?
No.
No, the other one.
Thing
the other one.
With the sort of bright kind of
things.
Items on it.
Okay, I got it. I'm locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Those are the things I want to talk about.
So let's talk about those things.
Yeah. Well, those things are stuff where...
All right. Okay. All right.
Things are crazy. No. No, don't start the timer.
No one even knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. That's half the fun.
Yeah, I know.
I actually, going into tonight, I'm helping you go on vacation, sleeping over tonight.
Sleepover.
Yeah.
Getting our jammies.
I was thinking about bringing up, like, different, like, sleepover games, but after I looked over them, it's like, no, we got to get some people on the show, and we got to do some of these damn things.
Like what? Give me an example.
Let's see if I got
sleepover games? That all sounds creepy.
Let me bring up the site quickly.
I remember when... I don't know what you want to call me, little fag I was back then. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, my gay audience. But
hey,
in middle school, I was terrified to play any of those spin the bottle and stuff like that. I would be like on the sideline, like watching the spin the bottle game, and then they would do that. What's that weird game in the closet? Like,
oh, 7 minutes of heaven.
Yeah, I would be like 7 yards away from the closet, just watching and wait, like not participating in anything, because I was like scared and so like awkward about it. Fucking, I hate my old self. I wish I could go back and just beat the hell out of myself.
Marty, you have to go back in time again.
Then I remember this girl, Monica, who she eventually turned out to be my first girlfriend. The one I kissed on Blades, Mike Brillo.
Oh.
But apparently...
I remember that now.
At like a sixth grade party or something, she had a pool, and I was sitting on the diving board, and apparently my nuts were hanging out of my bathing suit. And I was later told that everyone was looking at my nuts hanging out of my bathing suit. So,
tease nuts? All right. I got a couple of them here right now. Mm-hmm. One game is called Commercial Break.
Okay.
This list of girls' slumber party games wouldn't be complete without something for the young drama queens. In this game, each girl has to take a regular household object and create a commercial for it.
Oh, my God.
To add to the creativity, they can't advertise the object for its actual purpose, but must create an entire new use for it. An example for one of my daughter's parties was a little girl that received a spoon for her object.
Oh, all right. We're not a very perverted show, but all I think about is just a bunch of girls at a slumber party and like taking objects from around the house and just trying to like fit them in different places. Like, okay, go.
No,
is that the pervert in me or
a little bit?
All I think about, like, okay,
it's
commercial break.
It's kind of like Revenge of the Nerds or something like that, where you always dream about the girls. Group that, you know, you're peeking in. Ooh, they're in their lingerie, and they're about to, I got to go shower and all that fun stuff.
So, like Porky's?
Yeah, Porky's, Revenge of the Nerds, all that stuff. Here's another one, True Love's Kiss. This game is played just like Pin the Tail on the Donkey, except instead of tails, the girls lather up their lips with lipstick, and instead of a donkey, you hand a poster of a cute boy icon.
This is not true. This is also a scene from the movie in a Porky's like that, where one guy's like on the wall, like behind the wall with the poster in front of him, and he's like, you know, they're kissing the poster, but he's like right on, like they're kissing the posters on him, and he's like panicking.
Yeah. Apparently, you blindfold the girls, and they close their eyes, and they kiss, and then where they kiss, they have to initial, and whoever gets closer to the dream boy's lips wins.
Oh, well, you should play that for sure.
Yeah. There's yeah, also
we definitely gotta do some of these. Yeah,
there's Songmaker, where you pick one person at the sleepover to go first for the game. Everyone in the group decides on a title of a song, and then the person chosen first must make up a song to that title. Mm. Example, Little Bunnies on My Pillow.
Mmm.
You see what I mean?
It's getting creepy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can still kind of see where we get a bunch of comedians and attempt this.
Oh, 100%.
Mm. And then there's the M&M's Challenge Game. This sleepover game is played with M&M's, Skittles, or any small candy that comes in different colors. Place candy in a bowl, sit in a circle, and ask guests to choose two candies without looking. Show them to everyone and then put them in your mouth. If they are the same color, then you can chew them. If not, you have to hold them in your mouth until your next turn.
Everything just sounds borderline creepy.
Like well, it's coming from me, so that well, could be the reason.
Yeah, basically, everything you say.
The next one is called Knife Slight.
knife Fight. Yeah, that's a little weird. But yeah, we should definitely do some of those.
Yeah, I was. Let me see if I got the page.
Maybe we could do like a telethon through the night.
Yeah. but the one I wanted to bring up was some celebrity sleep patterns.
Some celebrity? All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Tom Cruise sleeps in a soundproof snoratorium.
All right.
Cruise snores are apparently so bad, he sleeps in a soundproof snoratorium. Whoever uses the snoring room cannot be heard outside the door, an alleged visitor to the actor's house told Daily Mail. It's very small, comfortable, and dark, but maybe a former nursery.
Hmm. That sounds
creepy.
The float tanks, like almost like the
yeah,
like Joe Rogan talks about them all the time.
Yes, Stephon Curry uses those.
Stephon,
yeah,
like Steve Urkel's wasn't it Stephon with his alter ego?
His alter ego. He's like an average basketball player, but he goes into the Urkulator and then he comes out and he's just insane. Winston Churchill took a 2-hour nap every day.
That's all right.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Every day at 5 p.m., the prime minister would drink a weak whiskey and soda before taking a nap for nearly 2 hours.
That sounds great.
Well, that's what they pretty much do in Spain. It's like
siesta, man.
Yeah, I think it's like around 3 o'clock. It's like you go home, you fall asleep, and it's your choice if you want to, when you wake up, if you want to go back to work.
We need that in America.
Mm-hmm. Mariah Carey surrounds her bed with 20 humidifiers and needs 15 hours of shut-eye per night.
Oh, stop it.
That's so diva of her. 20 humidifiers.
I think it's working, though. She's still good looking.
I'd tap that.
Oh.
I can't deny that.
Well, you're really reaching out there.
Well, you know, here at Verbal Shenanigans, you know,
we're edgy.
Yeah.
We're edgy. Yeah. We're shock jocks.
Listen, I like to go swimming. There, I said it.
We're shock jocks.
All of Stephen King's pillows are pointed in a certain direction.
Yeah, the direction to heaven, because he's awesome.
The science fiction writer explains his odd nighttime ritual. I brush my teeth, I wash my hands. Why would anybody wash their hands before they go to sleep? I don't know. And the pillows are supposed to be pointed in a certain way. The open side of the pillowcase is supposed to be pointed in towards the other side of the bed. I don't know why. He should write a book about that to find out.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Eminem puts tinfoil on his windows to keep out the light.
See, tinfoil, it seems a lot easier with, like, blankets or tapestries or something.
Yeah.
Tinfoil is the worst.
You figure he can't, I mean, he's so rich, he can't get, like, some tinted windows or something that could put the tint in there or if you turn on a switch.
I don't believe this.
Hmm. Let's see what else we got. Marissa Mayer catches up on sleep during week-long vacations every 4 months.
Must be nice.
Well, she is the CEO of Yahoo, so she's a workaholic, sometimes clocking as many as 130 hours in a week.
She should do more because I don't know anyone who uses Yahoo anymore.
I want to go to bed, Google.
Google.
Michael Phelps sleeps in a chamber with air comparable to 8,500 to 9,000 feet.
That's definitely just a pot tank that he goes in with his mouth-breathing mouth.
You get 13 gold medals in Olympics, you deserve it.
Yeah.
I don't care. A place in his bedroom at this high altitude, Phelps decreases oxygen, which forces his body to work harder to produce more red blood cells and deliver oxygen to his muscles.
Sounds like Lance Armstrong.
And Nikola Tesla never slept for more than 2 hours a day.
I believe that. He died with not a cent to his name.
Yeah, Edison screwed him.
Bastard. Thomas Edison.
Yeah, well, the basic plan was Tesla was working to have all of electricity just fair use for everybody, where it wouldn't charge anybody, and Edison, being the businessman that he is, he's kind of like, ah, that's a cute little something.
That's cute.
Yeah. Apparently, he also, when Tesla created like the alternating current, basically had a deal with Edison. He's like, if you get this to work, I'll give you $5,000. And after he got it all done, he's like, I was just playing with you. I didn't really mean $5,000. I mean, what is this, the 1800s?
I don't know. Poor Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And now they use his name on really expensive cars. And...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. That's okay.
Yeah.
But let's see what time we got. Okay. Pearl, I got
and I guess one other fun fact. What animal sleeps on its butt? As in uses
Obi.
It... Yeah. What animal uses its butt as a pillow?
Obi. Like it turns completely around and lays on its butt. Lion?
The correct answer is giraffe.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That neck can go all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that neck can go all the way around.
Are you hitting on a giraffe right now?
Well, if there's any sexy giraffes in the audience.
Well, Mike Berlew. It's time to check in with our favorite LGBT director.
Oh.
You know, all John the Oliver. Ones we have.
Yeah.
It's time to check in with AJ Mattioli. See what he's up to. Maybe. Yeah, maybe we won't do anything tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we will.
Hello, hello.
Oh, is this our favorite LGBT director that calls in weekly?
Yes, it is.
What's
AJ,
up?
How you doing, fellas?
How are you doing?
All right, man.
I'm good. Thank you for fitting me in on your 100th episode.
I know. Well, we just had we had this guest on that, well, he didn't come on, but he was supposed to come on, and he walked... He's a guy who like walked from the North Pole, the South Pole, and hiked Mount Everest. So he's a no-show right now. So you better pull the entertainment out of this podcast right now.
I mean, I got to be honest. I've never I've walked down the block a couple of times.
Stop lying.
I've been on a treadmill, but I've never walked to the North Pole or the South Pole. So my exercise is a little bit limited.
I guess that's a Verbal Shenanigans exclusive.
Yeah.
AJ Mattioli has never been to the South Pole.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Maybe uptown and downtown. That's about it.
That's about it. I go to West Village, the East Village, and that's about as far as I travel.
So we have checked in a couple times now, at least, I don't know, once or twice.
Yeah,
I don't know. But for those of you who don't know, AJ Mattioli is going through a transition. But I heard, or judging by your post, you've had a little couple hiccups here. What's going on?
Yeah, a couple hiccups. I mean, transitioning from female to male is expensive, to say the least. Luckily, I had health insurance through Aetna, which covers all of it, all the transition, which was great with the doctors that I want over at the Callan Lord Center in New York City, who are just, they cater and specialize in trans healthcare.
Nice.
And they took my insurance and everything was going really nice. And then, as corporate America does sometimes, they change the health insurance.
Yes.
At first, the people that I wanted to have as my doctors. We're not covered on that plan, but I was able to make a few phone calls, and I'm able to do everything, luckily, through some loopholes and referrals, which is very nice. So essentially, I just have to get a doctor I am not really 100% wanting as my primary to just continuously write me referrals to the doctors that I do want.
All right. So not as bad as it could have been.
Not as bad as it could have been. I mean, again, like, you know, you get a hiccup and then you hear about, like, North Carolina and how they just voted against, like, pretty much if you're gay, black, or have a uterus, you're not wanted there. So I try to take things in stride. You know, I know that the gays there are definitely being tortured more than us in New York City. So, you know, I take everything in stride as you have to.
Especially those who are gay, black, and have a uterus, all three.
I can't even imagine.
That'd be an awesome guess. Can we get that?
I utilize my white privilege, okay, gentlemen? And I utilize that on occasion.
Yeah, we've noticed that about you. So give us an update. What's going on with the transition here? What are the symptoms? How are we feeling? Anything different?
Right now, I wake up every day.
Me too.
My vocal cords are just complete. but when I wake up, my vocal cords are completely dry, and I feel like it's just sucking the liquid out of my body is what it feels like.
All right.
And they tell you that when you start testosterone that it is going to dry you up, and you do need to keep yourself hydrated and make sure, you know, you sweat more as a dude. So when, you know, as you sweat more, you therefore need to have more dehydration, you know, more hydration.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing with testicles. It really takes in the water, you know.
It's science. They're all water, actually.
Yeah.
They're made of water.
It's like you're an upside down camel down there. I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
I got two humps. Thank God.
That's why on a hot. That's why on a hot day, it's like playing hacky sack.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get stuck in the desert, you can suck on your balls and you'll be fine.
No. That's what you did for that guy to rescue you. At the beach.
Yeah, that was a weird day, and all. It wasn't even really that hot. It was like 80 degrees. Yeah, I just decided
it wasn't the desert. It was the Jersey Shore. Yeah.
I had like a Mountain Dew by me, too. I didn't know what I was doing.
It was Gunnison's Point at Sandy Hook, the nude beach. I'm so hot.
So hot. I'm so
the vending machine is so far away. I can't go that far.
All right, so you're dried out. What else?
So, I mean, yeah, other than that, I can't hear it in my voice, but when I talk to people who I haven't spoken to in a little while, they are like, wow, your voice is a lot deeper than it was. I mean, right now, I still feel very squeaky and very girl voice, but, you know, it is nice to know that people who knew me in the past and are hearing me now are noticing a little bit of a difference. Other than that, right now, you know, same as last time, sweating a lot, just sweating and smelling.
If you'd like to check out more sweating and smelling, go to Mattioli Productions.
Man, these films got weird after she transitioned.
She's just not trying anymore. It's just her sweating.
Why is that guy constantly wiping his arms? It's so weird.
There's an entire movie about a guy saying, man, I'm thirsty.
It's so avant-garde.
His films got so boring. Time-lapse sweating. But,
other than that, right now, the next big thing is they're going to up my testosterone shot because I was, they started me on a low dose because my cholesterol was insane. And pretty much my cholesterol read as if I just dipped Doritos in cheese every night.
As if you did or you did?
As if I did. I mean, I'm not saying I don't, but, but the doctors were able to tell.
They're like, so you like Cool Ranch, huh?
Yeah.
Your
like,
blood's showing high traces of Cool Ranch.
Yeah. Do you know what a vegetable looks like, AJ? So because of that, I had to get my cholesterol under control, and now they are able to bump up the testosterone. So hopefully the next time you guys talk to me, I'll be able to tell you about my 5 o'clock shadow and – you know, having a beard and, you know, all that fun, fun stuff and not just smelly armpits. Which sadly, the other day, so like when I come into my house, I put my, you know, I take off my shoes, and I'm right now I'm living with my parents because, you know, why not? And my mom was literally like, AJ, you need to throw out these shoes. They stink. They're stinking up the house.
Oh my God. I had a pair of sandals. I had a pair of sandals. They were like the soccer sandals, like the Adidas ones that I would wear after soccer or whatever. They were so bad in college that I put them in the hallway of a like three-story dorm, like a three-story dorm. And in the hallway where all the stairs were, it stunk so bad that people were like, oh, my God, what is that? What is that? So eventually I just threw them out in the woods behind the dorm. But they were, you know, like they're like a clear plastic rubbery thing. Uh-huh. They were like a golden yellow, like rubber. It was disgusting.
Awesome.
It was disgusting.
You threw them in the woods, and the bears were like, "What the hell is this?"
Screw the bear hunt. Just throw a couple of those bad boys back there.
That's it. You're actually responsible for extinction of animals because of that in that area.
Well,
we had dodo birds before you threw away your shoes.
Yeah, dodo birds. But
man.
I'm definitely like I get BO quick if I don't put on deodorant. If I exercise, I'm stinking it up. So I feel you.
Concerned. I'm like, what goes through women's minds when they have sex with these sweaty boys? Because like, it is a gross smell. Like, how do 18-year-old boys get laid smelling like that? It's terrible.
Listen, because they deal with the very dumb 18-year-old females.
No, seriously, babe. High school love lasts forever.
That's not me. That's like something in the air. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bow, 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 that's bow. Just yesterday's pizza. Yeah, that's not me. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah, same. You know, like your brain's just not developed yet, you know?
Yeah, it's a shame, though. I got to deal with 35-year-old developed brains and... You know.
Yeah, you can't pull the wool over anyone's eyes.
You're using too much logic, you know. You're a man, you can't be using that anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to be like Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. Like, you know, they stay the same age.
So how are you doing emotionally with all this? How any temper tantrums or a change of emotion or
I'm getting a little I have a much shorter fuse. The other day my uncle decided to say some racist Republican nonsense, and you know, I yelled at him a lot, and then I punched a wall and broke my finger.
I saw you had a cast on or something. I wanted to know the story behind that.
Cast on. So the test. Like normally, I would just like a few months ago, I'd just be like, "Oh, you're such a moron," and walk away. This time I was like, testosterone.
This is Sparta.
You're acting like a moron. Now watch me as I punch this.
Now watch me act like a moron. Yeah, exactly.
Join in the fun.
Oh, God. It was like the Hulk. It was terrible. But I was kind of impressed on how fast my fist went through the wall. I was like, well, I'm very strong now. So there was like, ow.
You're like when, you know, like when Neo from the Matrix is learning his new skills, you're like, ba-ba, ooh, wow.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that hole. Ow, my thumb hurts.
It's, there's definitely a shorter fuse, an anger issue, but I'm learning and getting it under control.
That's
like,
right.
All of the boys
But you
have
see,
to,
you're going through so. Exactly what I was going through. When I was 16, right? I wasn't allowed to get my license on time, and you don't get your license on time. That's like the biggest thing. It had to do with insurance reasons, and I would basically spend like a half hour a day going across the street to the park and just punch the chain link fence.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, because that seemed like the logical solution to getting my license back.
I can't drive. I'll teach this fence a lesson.
It's like you want to just hit things.
Hit things. You or know, we do stupid things like slam things.
All the boys I used to make fun of back in the day when they would flip out.
Yeah, you're the reason I punched the fence.
That kind of reminds me. I remember when I was at work. This is like 15 years ago where I still liked the place. But anyway, I remember they were going to tear down a wall to expand like two offices into like one like training room. And I had like we were dealing with a lot of crap and it was a real long night. And I called up the facilities person. I'm like, that, now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that wall going down tomorrow? She's like, yeah. I'm like, there's no scenario that wall will have to stay up for any reason. She's like, no. I hung up. I went into the room. I busted the hand through the entire wall. And the greatest thing was I thought everybody was gone for a day. And, like, I went over, I brought a friend over, yo, see what I did. As I was doing that, like, some operations manager came running over. They started the construction too early. We're doing stuff in there.
Yeah, I picture them, like, signing this big bill. And all of a sudden your stupid fist comes to the wall.
Hey, if you put on here, we'll have that $3 million contract. But boom!
Either that or someone's taking a shit and a fist comes through the wall. Like, oh, whoa. He goes right back up.
Sorry, Jim.
Sorry, Jim. Continue. Carry on.
Go for it. Carry on. That's amazing.
So now you're in your further stages. Have you found yourself changing anything with, like, your directing, writing, your art, anything like that?
I've noticed I'm more impatient on how long it takes actors to learn their lines.
So basically, you're just transitioning to an angry, impatient asshole.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, smelly asshole. Sorry.
I'm becoming an angry old Italian man. Yeah.
I'm transitioning to my father, goddammit.
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, everything's, you know, I think things are pretty status quo as far as my company goes. Hopefully, none of the actresses are feeling sexually harassed because I am right now being on testosterone is like a hole in the wall and you're happy with it, so
all right so
there's that too.
You're just transitioning into a grumpy,
I'm sure.
Horny
what?
So you just transitioned into a grumpy, horny, angry, frustrated, short-tempered man.
Hey, that's my act.
So basically, you could just be be the exact co-host that I have now.
Yeah.
Scott, don't make fun of me. I'm going to punch his wall.
But let's talk your what's going on with the films? I see you got some things going on.
I do. I'm very excited.
Are you watching like The Price is Right in the back? I heard a lot of cheering.
It's going to be the trailer comes out in 2 days. So I'm very excited that.
Yeah, let us know. We'll share that on our site too.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then on April 14th, we're having a fundraiser over at the Broadway Comedy Club.
Nice.
With the boy band Larger Than Life. And
they're
really?
There's
like,
a boy
cool,
band
like,
there.
90s boy band music. So it should be a lot of fun and raising some money for the next venture, which is going to be, I believe, a horror movie, which should be
Ooh,
a lot of
really?
Fun.
Really? I saw you post something about that. Anybody have any ideas for a LGBT horror movie?
Yeah, and I got.
I think the killer should just be you, sexually frustrated, just beating people's asses.
So much testosterone, AJ must kill.
Testosterone, Hulk fist. Yeah,
you'll be like really nice. You'll be like of Mice and Men. You'll be like Lenny, but you can't help killing the rabbits because of your brute strength.
And I'm a little dumb, so it kind of works out.
I don't want to typecast you here, but I think you're it.
I'll take it. It's a role of a lifetime.
AJ must crush.
And I get to have like little like, you know, like doesn't he like, yeah, he kills a mouse. I get to have a little mouse pet. It'll be fun. It'll be good for me.
Yeah, see.
I will love him and I will hug him and I will call him George.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Lenny killed the rabbits again.
Yeah. Tell me about the rabbits again, George.
Just think of the rabbits, Lenny. Think of the rabbits, AJ. Ba-boom.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's pretty much what I'm putting out there.
What date is that boy band show?
It's April 14th.
What date is that? Because I have a certain challenge I have to accomplish for the podcast that could knock off a couple things
well,
at once.
Well, the thing is, I'll go with you, ergo you won't be there alone. So.
April 14th. Oh, damn it. We have a podcast that night. Maybe. But anyway,
come
out.
I'll get you guys an invite and see.
First off, we also got to get this man in drag over here. We haven't heard from
Yeah, they're very famous, those people. So they get a little bit crazy sometimes.
Are you saying they drag their feet on responses?
I think they just saw your picture and they were like, I don't want to put that dude in drag.
They're like, okay, let's move on. You must be transitioning into into an animal.
Anyway, but yeah, we'll get that all started, definitely. Yeah.
What else? What else you got going? You know what? We have you on here, so we might as well talk a little bit, unless you're in a rush.
I actually do have to go into my job. So I have to, you know, maybe work on occasion.
Are you kidding me?
Make
job?
That money to pay for these titties to come. You know?
Make that money to pay for these titties. That's a total rap song.
That's our new.
That is my new theme song. Yeah,
that's our new catchphrase.
Yo, bitch, I gotta make this money to pay for these titties. Cause if I wasn't wrapped up, I'd be on the committee. Because oh shit, my life ain't that fucking shitty. Oh, sorry.
I like that though, yo.
Yeah,
I like that.
I can lay that down if you want. Right there. But anyway, real quick, promote what you got.
Well, just keep an eye out for the Words documentary trailer that's coming out in 2 days. And then after that, we got the LGBT horror movie coming up, which is going to be scary as shit. We got some exorcism happening in there. And, we combine some religion with some gay people, and it's pretty much a horror movie. And there you go.
Very nice. And before we go, Michael Berlow's got a couple of things for you before, you know, as you're transitioning, a couple of things you need to know now that you're becoming a man, and then we'll let you go.
Now, usually I do the whole what men like thing. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to list out the stuff that women love that men hate.
Oh, okay.
So if there's any remnant still in AJ, he's got to get rid of this stuff, okay?
All right.
Right off the bat, bathroom crap. Everything, all that makeup, all those brushes, everything, men hate that.
Yeah.
It's terrible. There's no reason.
Yeah.
Because you go to bed with one girl and you wake up with another. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Like, you go home with a 10 and you wake up with, like, a 4 with, like, no teeth and a fucking lazy eye. It's not cool.
Hey, listen, when you're drunk enough, that lazy eye is straight.
Yeah.
That thing is focused on you.
Look at my sexiness.
I like to say any port in a storm.
Ah. Oh. Yes. true man right there.
Let's see here. Cosmopolitan quizzes.
Terrible.
I was looking over one of those on my flight. It was just in.
Oh yeah, it was just casually in your backpack in the fifth year edition that you've had subscriptions to.
Well, they filled out the Sudoku, so what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
That's one I don't get. Family get-togethers. I like family get-togethers.
I like some of them. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it depends. Is it my family or their family?
Exactly. My family get-togethers are great. Theirs are awful.
Let's see.
Theirs always suck. They're never good enough for them.
Mm-hmm. Number 13, Enrique Iglesias and Justin Timberlake.
Aww.
I'm not a Justin Timberlake hater, to be honest.
No, he's kind of turned it
around.
The
guy's kind of a talented dude.
Like, if you ask me after Dirty Pop came out, yeah, I would say definitely. But
you were a post-Dirty Pop JTT fan?
Yeah.
No, JTT was Jonathan Taylor Thomas. dating myself a little bit there. Not that I liked him or anything.
How about soap operas?
How about what?
Soap operas, another one on the list here.
I mean, they're so terrible, but as a filmmaker, I'm like, anyone that could stretch out, like, one storyline to last 17 years is pretty amazing.
Wait, so you mean, so if, like, a podcast called, like, the same person, like, 4 times over the last month or so?
Exactly.
Yeah, that wouldn't be weird. Yeah, I give them credit, too.
Stretch that shit out. Yeah. Stretch it out. I get it, man. I get it.
Yeah. How about fad workouts?
Those will never go away.
No.
No.
I go to the gym and I just want to slaughter people. usually. That's my workout. It's like, just move and let me go home.
You
like,
don't
let
even
me do
use
this.
Equipment. You just go to the wall and start punching it.
Yeah.
Like a
that's my exercise. Yeah.
It's
why
so
go to the gym to make other people feel better about their body?
Yeah, you know what I was thinking, though? Like you were saying all this other stuff. Even regardless of the transition, it sounds like you're getting healthier just by being, you know, lowering the cholesterol and watching your diet and, you know.
Oh,
like,
most certainly. Yeah, you know, you have to, you know, it's, you know, as much as you want to continue being, you know, a 16-year-old kid and eating garbage all day, it's... Like, really, since I started going to the gym and working out a little bit and eating a little better, like, my energy level is up. Like, you know, you never believe it when people tell you that. And then actually do it, you feel better, and you're like, oh, okay. Eating Doritos is not going to be good for my energy level.
You know what you'll never lose in this transition? The way you say garbage. Garbage. G-A-W-B-A-J. Garbage.
You're eating garbage and drinking coffee. You're
fucking
day, you know?
Drinking garbage, eating coffee. You goddamn. I'm AJ here. But anyway, AJ, I know
so
you gotta
AJ's
go.
AJ's transitioning to Rodney Dangerfield is what you're telling me.
I got no respect. I got no respect.
And I know he's gotta go, so I'll say the last one on the list, talking.
Talking, oh, all about the feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I had feelings, I would talk about them, but I don't have them.
Exactly. That's why we keep talking to you each month.
Yeah.
So we can hear about your smelly armpits and punching walls and no real true feelings. So you're on your way.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
You do it right there.
We're like a hollow shell of a human being.
I'll be completely void of emotion. Right. It's going to be great.
You'll be void of emotion. You'll be distracted by a bunch of men throwing balls around and...
and drinking them.
And drinking... man, if you're brown.
And drinking Blue Moon. Got a karaoke bar singing Journey. Got it.
Hey, that's the life for me. But anyway, AJ, thank you so much for coming on, and we will be in touch in a few weeks.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Always
a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Later, guys.
Ah, yes.
Always fun.
Always fun. So I guess, you know, sometimes things don't go as planned, but we did a lot of fun things tonight.
Yeah.
Berlo, on our way out, I was thinking, I don't know if you got anything else, but I was thinking top 10 Verbal Shenanigans moments. We're at 100 episodes here. Now, these are in no particular order because it's really hard, but these are some of the things this show has brought to us. AJ probably can make the list at this point.
Easily.
Our
most recurring guests.
I would say, yeah, absolutely. Besides you, I'm still waiting for the permanent host to come in.
Scott, it's been 75 episodes. Come on, man.
Our guest today on the show, Mr. Michael Berlo.
Well, I keep on asking, is it me? And you tell me no.
Yeah, no. But, okay, I think one of my favorite, I guess not. They're not really moments. I guess one is the quest for Sean Kemp.
Mm-hmm.
The quest for Sean Kemp has proven to gone from frustration to just pure comedy at this point.
It's such a little tease, you know. Mm-hmm. Every time you say, all right, he's out of my life, I'm fine, I've moved on, I've tried to find a new guest, and then
he's
he
like
gets bumps back. Hey, I miss you.
He's like a terrible girlfriend. and those of you who don't know, we had Sean Kemp many, many, like 50 episodes ago at least. He was supposed to come on. Didn't. Mm-hmm. Said he was coming on again. Didn't. So we've met times to get together to get him on. I wrote a Christmas song about him. If you go back to the Christmas episode, he contacted us 2 weeks ago, and I've messaged him 5 times. Hasn't come on. So the quest for Sean Kemp will always be the underlying joke on this podcast until we get him on or he dies.
Now, technically, you did have the great feeling of getting to talk to him on the phone.
I did. And it's only like, I'm like, damn, I wish I didn't talk to him on the phone. I wish that was recorded, you know?
Yeah.
But I did talk to him on the phone. He was fun. He was, you know, joking around, but
wow.
Number two on the list for me is the NASCAR/IndyCar podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I put them together because they kind of go together. They're both from Pocono Raceway. We got to do some really cool stuff, and that was one of the first times, like, oh, my God, like,
yeah.
This could we could do things that we never expected. And even like when we got together one time, we were enlisting guests and like, you know, like this was early on. You were very modest. Like, oh, yeah, you know. I'm like, well, what do you like? I'm like, you like NASCAR. I'm like, well, why don't you reach out to
Pocono
Raceway or something like that? And sure enough, something clicked and we went and we rode water slides and shot zombies with a Daytona 500 Wimmer.
I mean, how many people can say? I mean, it's just the weirdest thing you can just bring up in a conversation. I rid water slides with Trevor Bayne.
Yeah, yeah. Shot zombies with Trevor Bayne. Watched him decorate a cake. But that would be, I put that on there. And again, these are in no particular order.
All right.
I put the Beer Fest as one.
That was a fun time.
The Beer Fest was a blast. Not because of the episode. That was still when we were finding like our sound and stuff, but we had a blast that night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
All the brewers were nice. I mean, you went up to them. They're like, yeah, we want to talk. We had good times. Had a few people come on, a little inebriated, trying to do questions and talk. And just overall, a very fun experience with different people. You know?
Yeah. No. So that was a good one. I put Marcella Balboa and also leading into the Red Bulls game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, a big U.S. soccer fan, was able to get him on, and you were able to contact him very early.
Yeah, like, it was literally
we had like,
like
one follower.
It was like you told me, I'd like to get somebody from the U.S. soccer team. And I'm like, I do my due diligence. I start tweeting people. I think the next day I'm like, oh, you know this Marcelo Balboa? And you're like, hell yeah, I do. And I'm like, yeah, he responded. I think it's him. He's got like 90 followers right now. He was like literally
think we just
like,
happened to catch him at the
exact
time.
He came on and, yeah, I mean, nicest guy to meet. I mean, we got to contact him, got to meet him at the Red Bulls game. Again, very nice, talking stuff, talking about the restaurants in the area. Very incredible experience.
The next thing I put was the hot dog eating competition, where it led into us watching MMA at night and getting loaded and Randy ending up on my floor the next day.
Yeah. I mean, we got to see another side of Randy at the MMA, really cool guy. He's starting to get back into his challenges again, I see. But it was just cool to like just have a regular conversation. We're not talking about the food challenges and the stuff. And really laid back guy. And we
came back from the hot dog thing. You ate 12 hot dogs. We watched some like TV, slept a little bit, and then like we went out and had a blast.
And that was when you started to love Conor McGregor.
That was the day where I was like, I can't tell what I like him, if he's an asshole or if he's good. And then he won that fight out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's Randy Santel. Number five I put was the comedy shows that have come from this. The five comedy shows now.
That's cool.
All good times. You know, it's been something completely different. It's come from this name or whatever. We've had a lot of fun and, you know, trying to establish the brand a little bit. So that was definitely something I put down. Number six, I put Sharon Alexander.
Had to.
Something about Sharon Alexander. I don't know. Something about that podcast is a very special place in my heart. I don't know. It was just such fun.
Yeah. I mean, I remember you told me who you want to schedule next. And I said, oh, I'll say Sharon Alexander. He's like, yeah, go do it. I didn't know you really meant like, let's talk about what times or whatever. So I scheduled her. And I remember I came over to your place on a Sunday. I could tell you were in a mood. I mean, not bad, but just not in the mood to be like a comedy guy, and you even like, I'm probably gonna let you go and lead this for most of the time and whatever. And just the way she started talking, and you can tell how bubbly she was and wanted to have a fun time. You just, I could see you changing over. Like when we talked about, you know, what kind of what was it? I forget what they called like the diaper. It was a
I don't remember.
But I remember like, well, you can't wear that. She's like, what? You don't want to see my boobs? And I just kind of saw your smirk just coming up, and you're like, okay, we're gonna have fun with this.
Yeah, I had a blast.
And it was one of our best ones, I could say.
Yeah, I just started going off on that interview, and I loved it. So Sharon Alexander, if you want to watch that, listen to that episode, please go back to that. All right. Then I put the outskirt guests, I called them. Things that I didn't expect to, like, I've never, like, open biome. Like, things that, like, guests that aren't really known. I guess Sharon, you could stick in there. I put the lumberjack down. I put Robbie Wrist down. Mm-hmm. I put the Jamaican bobsledder down. All these things were just on a whim or just looking for something interesting.
I would even put Inspector Collector in there.
I have him down. I put Harley right down, literally right in my face. I'm looking at lumberjack, Robbie Wrist. And even next week, you guys will hear an interview from a someone who's pagan. But all these, like, guests that are not meant to be, like, oh, here's a big name. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they turn out better than any of them. That's why I always, like, say about this thing. It's like the mindset of that Dirty Jobs. I love that mindset. Because Dirty Jobs is a show that was just like, oh, let's go talk to the ordinary people. And mm-hmm. I love, as much as I love talking to Trevor Bayne and Marcelo Balboa and the Cinema Snob and people who have fun, I love just as much talking to the plumber down the street who has a funny story, you know? So I always want to keep that part of the podcast. Three more. I put Dave Ippolito on us going to the concert.
That was a very fun time. Great performances. Bill Nye. Great performances he did just over Skype, just on the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Fun concert, fun night in New York. Very cool.
Yep. Fun night in New York, fun guy.
And a guest we got from AJ.
Exactly. That was kind of where I was going. With the connections, it's just everything is connections, and one thing leads to another. We might have someone coming on from the Harley episode. We might have someone coming on, a guy that lives as a goat.
Hmm. Interesting.
As a goat, like
as a
goat. I'll show you later.
Okay.
But it's just one thing after another. Someone contacted me from the Harley episode and was like, "Love the episode." He sent it out to us. Would you guys be interested in this guy? And bang, things happen. I love how things just happen like that. Two more. One was the hippo attack survivor.
Classic.
One of them, which I'm going to re-edit and fix the sound even better, because when you listen in the car, he's really high and we're low. So I'm going to edit that. I'm just going to find the files and re-release it. But that was to me, can you stop making out with my dog?
He gave me a kiss.
No, you lean down to him. He can't reach you. That is officially you giving him a kiss.
No, I didn't open my mouth or anything.
You can kiss without opening your mouth.
You're
guilty. You have the guilty face on.
I'm not making out with your dog.
Yeah. Anyway, the hippo attack survivor was one of those funny stories of something weird happening and coming true out of this crazy situation, like me having a joke about a hippo to talking about hippo attacks, to Googling a hippo attack in the car, to contacting him, to him calling me at school and then tweeting or whatever something back to you and us
And then that weird voicemail message after we ragged on him.
Yep.
Like the
after we ragged on him for something. So it's like that was a moment for me with this podcast where I was like, you know what? Like, people aren't untouchable to get on. Yeah. Like, I kind of realized, like, oh shit, like, yeah, maybe this is possible. Yeah. You know, and before I have our number one, anything for you, Berlo, most memorable moments on this podcast, your reflections on it, coming into it,
a good list. I mean, I always go back to the same story. Like, I was the guest on with Doug Max and talking, and I just still remember the time you called me up, plastered beyond belief.
In Philadelphia.
Yep. I'm serious about this. You want to do my show? Yeah.
In my defense, I was going to call you the next day anyway.
Well, that's what I was wanting. Like, after that whole discussion, I was still kind of sitting back like, all right, I'm not going to say anything.
It'd be great if, like, you showed up, like, the next day. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here?
What's going on? What are we going to talk about today?
You're not Jim Brewer.
But I mean, it was kind of cool how you asked me and you were serious and you kind of said, you know, you got to really speak up and kind of like opened me up more and talking more and like kind of looking into more different realms of my comedy and stuff like that and, you know, working on interviewing skills and everything. So it's been a very fun ride so far.
It's been an absolute fun ride. And Michael Berlo, Listen, pal.
Am I number one?
Number 10 is Our Time Together.
Aww.
Okay. Because as cheesy as that sounds, this podcast would not be the same without you. It would not be the same without our conversation. It would not be the same without your effort in some areas, my effort in others, and that combination. We found a perfect blend. And there'll be many more to come. 100 to go, 200 to go, maybe 300 to go. But we're 100 in, and there's no chance of us stopping. So we are always looking for new listeners. And I think that's going to bring us to the end tonight, guys.
Right.
And Michael Berlow, anything to promote? I figure we got two dates to promote where you can see the two of us. This month.
I'm going to actually not do my. I'll let you announce those. One of the guests I really liked having on was the Cinema Snob. I always enjoy his videos. And he recently put up a video. I haven't gone through it yet, but it's very interesting. He's talking about how he tried to commit suicide once.
Wow.
And even on the opening, he's kind of like, you know, I plan on doing this video, but as I was in front of the camera, I sat here for an hour kind of debating, turning on the video, starting this and talking about this. I haven't gone through all the details, but knowing him, he's a class act. I'm sure it's
good guy.
A very
we had him
interesting
on.
Person. If any of you out there is kind of like, you know, sad or on the fence or something like that, I mean, he's a guy I would say he would be a very straight shooter. Listen to his story and, you know, talk yourself out of it. I mean, he's a very big on the internet side, very big internet celebrity. So highly recommend it. Again, it's thecinemasnob.com.
Yeah, and he was a great guest on our podcast. Mm-hmm. Everyone, listen. 100 episodes in, you know, we can make a big deal. When we had 50 episodes, we joked around like it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. But 100 episodes, you know, you look back and you go, holy crap, 100 of these things, Berlow. Mm-hmm. And we have probably 100, 200, 304, just a couple things that will never see the light of day. But it's been a blast. One thing I'd like to promote, you can come see both of us, okay? Now, Berlow's back and with it. And we're on two shows together. Two shows coming up. And Berlick, if you could pull up the information on the speed skater one. I don't have the info.
That.
But, okay, we're actually going to go backwards. So on April 27th at Bat Barry's in Westwood, you'll see me and Michael Berlow along with a bunch of other funny comedians, good guys, Rocco Romeo, Andy Hayward, Mike Jenkins. So a lot of good comedians on the show. So that's it. You'll see the two of us come hang out. And then on April 16th, we'll be playing down in Flemington, and Michael Berlow is going to give you a little bit more information.
Yes, it's a benefit for Kimberly Goetz. She is a Olympic athlete or training to become an Olympic athlete. She's in speed skating, and they're doing a fundraiser to raise some money, as it's very expensive to basically every day train for an Olympic event. Very fun comedians such as Tom Mangelli, Scott Brennan, myself, Jay Ladd, Todd Howard, Ray Burrito. If you can go to www.hunterdonchamber.org or call up at 908-782-7115. It's in the Flemington area on Saturday, August 16th at the Stengel Stage. All proceeds go to this Olympic hopeful.
That's it, baby. And listen, it's been 100 episodes. Whether you're with us from the beginning or just catching us today, the real thing we want to thank is you. Because if we didn't thank you or we didn't have you, maybe we'd still be doing it. Maybe we would. But it's nice to see the listenership go up, get a random review or a comment every once in a while, or a like or whatever it is. We met a lot of good people through this, and we'd like to meet a whole bunch more. And that's what we're going to do. And again, please feel free to contact us or follow us at VS Comedy on Twitter or on Facebook at Verbal Shenanigans or Verbal Shenanigans on Instagram, whatever it is. But the point is, we do it to get some listenership. And I know there's 10,000 podcasts out there, probably more. But, you know, we have fun doing it. I hope that shows through in our broadcast. And it's been a blast. And on to the next 100, Michael Berlow.
All right.
Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. keep the wind at your back.